My girlfriend Tracy totally freaked out when a Costco opened in our city. Before, she'd have to drive all the way to Vegas to shop at Costco. And now there was one less than 15 minutes away. She acted like this was the greatest news in the world. Thankfully, she preferred to shop without me. She said that I was always rushing her, and that I didn't understand a good deal when I saw one. She ended up going there every Saturday, spending God knows how much on a lot of stuff that we didn't need. Then one Saturday, I had to take Tracy's car into the shop to get her tires replaced. It was going to take a while, so she asked me to drive her to Costco. She had a whole list of stuff to buy. Obviously, I'd rather just wait at the mechanics and read one of their magazines, but I wanted to do the polite thing, so I agreed to go with her. When we got there, she literally told me to browse by myself and stay out of her way. I didn't argue. I went to the electronics section and looked at some laptops and tablets that I definitely couldn't afford. After a while, I got bored, so I decided to walk around the food section and try to get some free samples. If you've never been to Costco, probably the best thing about it is the free food. Ladies stand at these little desks, passing out tiny cups of samples. That day they had mini waffles, berry ice cream, salmon crackers, and a couple other things that seemed pretty delicious. The first one I went to was giving out ice cream. I smiled at the lady behind the table and asked if I could have some. I said please, of course. The worker was an older woman with deep wrinkles across her face. She looked at me and smiled. Sorry, she said. We're all out. Obviously, that was a lie, because she still had at least a dozen cups in front of her. I thought it would be rude to argue, so I turned around and left. I passed by some other customers eating the ice cream, and I felt kind of angry that the lady had refused to give me a sample for no reason at all. Did she have something against me? I ended up getting a couple of other samples, but was starting to get a little bored. I hoped that Tracy would be done soon. I rounded the corner into the frozen food section when I saw an old woman who was leaning over her shopping cart and struggling to breathe. Her face was red and sweat oozed down her face. I ran to her. Excuse me, I said. Are you okay?
Can't breathe, she said.
She lost her grip on her shopping cart and fell to the ground. I looked all around me to see if anyone was nearby.
Help, I shouted. Someone's having a heart attack.
No one came down the aisle, so I dug out my phone and called 911. I waited by the woman's side, but I could tell that she wasn't going to make it. Her breathing was getting weaker and weaker. I tried to tell her that she was going to be okay, but by that point, she was gone. I stood up and ran to find someone, but when I left the aisle, I could see a bunch of other customers gasping for breath and collapsing onto the ground. It wasn't just the one woman. It was everyone in the store. I ran to another woman who toppled onto the floor as soon as I could get to her. A little free sample cup rolled out of her hand. In the distance, two more customers fell over too. I had no idea what was going on, but I knew that Tracy and I had to get out of there. Something was killing everyone inside. Was it a chemical attack? Something in the air? I had to find Tracy. I shouted her name, but I couldn't see her anywhere. By then, literally all the other customers were lying dead on the ground. The only movement came from all the workers, who were scrambling around and checking on the fallen customers. That's when I saw the old woman who refused to give me ice cream. She was still standing at her table looking at all the bodies on the floor, and she was cackling madly. She'd done this. She'd poison everyone with her free ice cream. Just then, someone grabbed me from behind. I spun around and saw Tracy. She was terrified, but otherwise okay. We have to get out of here now, she said. I couldn't agree more. She grabbed my arm and together we raced through the store. We passed by so many bodies as we did. It was just horrible. As soon as we got outside, we saw a bunch of ambulance and cop cars pull up. I guess I wasn't the only one to call 911. A policeman ran up to us and asked us what happened. I told him my theory. I think that someone in there poisoned the free samples. We had to answer a bunch of questions while the cops and paramedics rushed inside. Several minutes later, two policemen came out of the building, leading the samples lady away in handcuffs. They were holding her tight because she kept trying to escape. Her gray hair hung wildly in her face, and she looked completely insane. She was screaming too.
They deserved it, she said. I hate them all. I spend every day giving out free food, and no one ever shows me any manners. They're all scum. They deserve to die.
Tracy was still standing next to me at the time. She gasped.
Oh my God. I asked her for a sample and she refused. because I said please.
Me too, I told her. We watched the police take the woman away. As they shoved her into the police car, she screamed the loudest, angriest scream I'd ever heard. It was like she was cursing the world. I was numb at what I had just seen, but at the same time, I was relieved. My girlfriend and I were both saved from a horrible death just because we were the only ones in the store who tried to be polite.
My name is Tabitha, and I hate shopping. I'm a mother of three, so every week I have to go to Costco to buy whatever groceries and snacks that my family needs. I know it's not that big a deal, especially because my husband Tom works his butt off in the office to provide for us, but I genuinely hate shopping. One Saturday morning, I left our kids with the nanny and drove to Costco. I expected to be there for about an hour. As I crossed through the store, I saw my husband Tom up ahead. He was standing with a trashy blonde woman. I couldn't believe my eyes. Tom was supposed to be at work. What was he doing with this woman who looked like a And why was he dressed like that? I knew it was Tom, because I recognized my husband's face. But his clothes were all thuggish. He even had fake tattoos printed onto his neck and arm. He looked like some kind of gang member. He even had a bandana over his hair. Was this some sort of second life that he had? Was he only pretending to be a happily married man, but when I wasn't looking, did he put on this whole other persona? It made no sense. I had to talk to him and ask him what was going on. I walked straight up to him and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" He looked at me like I was insane, like he didn't recognize me at all. The woman he was with stepped between us. "Don't talk to my man like that," she said. "Your man? This is my husband." Tom's face dropped. "Oh," he said. Then he turned to the other woman. "Give us a second, okay?" And then he grabbed me by the shoulder and guided me towards the far corner of the Costco. We were alone now, surrounded by giant shelves filled with boxes of snack foods. No one around to hear us. "I'm sorry, baby," he said.
"You're sorry?" I asked. "Who was that woman? Why are you dressed like that?"
He thought for a long moment. "Okay," he said. "I'm going to tell you something, but you can't say anything. I'm undercover."
"What?" I asked. "You're an accountant."
He held me by both shoulders and looked me right in the eyes. "There's been some shady dealings with our company, and I have to find out what's going on. So I'm in costume right now. I was sworn to secrecy. I couldn't tell you. But now that you're here, I'm worried that you're going to ruin my cover."
"Your cover?" I said. "What are you trying to do?"
"Please, honey, just trust me. The less you know, the better. I have to recover some very important documents, and since you're mixed up in this now, I think you need to help me. Is that okay?"
I could tell from his expression that he was desperate, and I didn't want to say no to my husband in a time like this.
"Of course," I said. "I love you, Tom." He smiled. "Good. So my associate and I are going to sneak into the back and gather the documents. I need you to be out here as a distraction. Can you do that?"
Sure, I said. "What do I need to do?"
He pointed around the corner. "There's a security guard right there. I want you to talk with him and make sure he's looking right at you while I sneak past. Is that okay?"
"Yeah," I said. "But it sounds kind of illegal and dangerous."
"Trust me," he said.
He guided me around the corner and showed me the security guard. I walked over to the man and started talking to him casually. I'm a pretty attractive woman, so it was easy for me to get all his attention. I asked him questions about his job and about how exciting it was. And while we talked, Tom and that other woman snuck behind him into the back warehouse area of the Costco. We talked for about 5 minutes when the security guard said he had to go check the back. I tried to stop him because Tom hadn't come out yet, but he just kept going. As soon as he was gone, I texted Tom. "Be careful. The security guard is coming your way." Tom texted back immediately. "What are you talking about? I'm at work." That's when I realized that the man I was talking to wasn't my husband at all. What was going on? The stranger who looked exactly like my husband was somehow doing something very illegal, and I had just helped him. Before I could do anything, I heard a loud gunshot noise coming from the back of the store. Then fake Tom and his trashy girlfriend ran right past me without even looking. They were carrying a large black bag, probably filled with money.
In seconds, they were gone. I wandered into the back and saw the security guard lying on the ground. He'd been shot in the leg, but he looked like he was going to be okay.
You helped him, he said.
And then he passed out from the blood loss. I called 911, completely unsure of how I was going to explain this. The cops arrived within 5 minutes. They got my statement, but I think that only made things more confusing. They told me to go back home and they'd call me if they had any other questions. When I got home, Tom was waiting for me. What the hell happened? I asked him. Tom looked at me and said,
Honey, there's something I've been keeping from you all these years. I have a twin brother. He's been in jail for over a decade, so I figured that you'd never meet him. But I guess he was released, and he hasn't learned his lesson, apparently. It looks like he just robbed Costco, and you helped him commit the robbery.
I was speechless. He wrapped me in a big hug and said,
It's okay. It's not your fault.
All this happened 3 weeks ago. Tom's twin brother is still on the run, and the police have come over 3 more times to ask me more information. I told them the whole truth, and I don't think I'm in any real legal trouble. I think they just assumed that I was a total idiot. And maybe I was. I have no idea where Tom's brother is, but I hope that he doesn't try to come back into our lives again.
The breeze at the beach was strong, with a liqueur of liberty that permeated the senses. I basked in the sunset, the sight of orange lines streaming along the edge of an endless horizon. The waves crashed softly to the bank in relentless flushing advance on sand. The sand resisted, cleaving and maneuvering from the way of water as it all poured back to reunite with the big sea. It was a curious spectacle to behold how freely the world interacted. I took long sniffs of the clean sea air to ease the path into my lungs. It was the first time I had had clean air in weeks. An hour ago, I could still envision the blue invisible trail of the city's carbon in the air. My chest had contracted at the instance of that horrible city that I sought escape from. The dull passage of time with monotonous urgency of activities in its company, all pressing towards nowhere. It riled my stomach and parched my mouth. I turned around in my small recliner and lay on my back. I lay on the beach and gazed up at the sky above. I let out a sigh of relief, feeling a sense of calm wash over me. The breeze of the sea continued from where I stopped, and my mouth watered in relish. I pressed my hands into my recliner and it squeaked. My eyes drifted closer and I entered into a world of induced pleasure. As I relaxed, my breath escaped, carrying away the stress of the past week. I held onto the fabric beneath me, feeling a sense of comfort. Suddenly, I sensed someone nearby, and I immediately stopped and opened my eyes. Hi. The stranger's presence was unwavering. The smile on her face was easy to dismiss for the same reason that her aura was that stifling. Her face smiled, her cheeks spread apart, and her lips unclasped to reveal her teeth. But I was able to pick the insincerity. I didn't think it was necessary to smile back, so I didn't. Can I help you? I quizzed, stirring on my recliner without rising from my position. She balked and cocked her head slightly leftward. A dull pair of eyes, despite her best effort at evoking friendliness, betrayed her. She drew them close in contemplation. You aren't alone here, aren't you? She asked me. I hesitated to answer. I was a woman as much as she was, but it seemed odd to me that she would be so direct in her question. I slowly rose from my position to sit upright. I don't think I should answer such a question. If you don't mind, I'd like to be left alone. I answered as softly as I could. My mind had already begun to race. I knew as soon as she left me alone, I would find my way to my car and soon be gone from the beach. Her nose turned up in disgust, and her eyes wandered around my body briefly. She looked straight in my eyes, and I looked in hers. Such beautiful blue eyes she had. She had dirty blonde hair that went past her shoulder with the fringes hanging around her neck. Her bikini was brown, and they suited the tan of her skin. I did not bother to stare more, suspecting I may give her ideas of desire which I was unwilling to offer. I strategically looked away from her. Jerry, I think we have a in this one, she suddenly called out. The air in the beach suddenly ran cold against my skin. My heart stopped and my vision tunneled at her words. Sheer horror froze my limbs as I turned my neck to the sight of a man marching briskly towards us from my rear. My mind reeled as all else felt numb to my senses. We'll f*** her and dump her in the sea, she hollered at the man. My chest contracted again and respiration became a difficult affair. The contraction was worse than it was in the city. It was no ordinary course of affairs. My life was flashing before my eyes, and I was tumbling through emotions I did not suspect I had. My lips hung loose, as did my thoughts. My hearing failed me, but her last words rang in my head as though it were my own thoughts. Time was not an ally as the man burst from a march into a jog. In my dizziness, I sprung to my feet. I lost grip on what was real and what was being imagined in the moment. The thoughts that occupied my head were unclear, and I knew I had little time to process them. I followed instinct. I swung my feet towards her stomach as hard as I could. The slap was so resounding that I felt my ankle move. Adrenaline washed over the ache, and I was too numb to feel anything. Ow! She cried, grabbing onto her stomach. My feet obliged me to run, and I did. Come here, you little bitch. The one she had called Jerry hollered at me, but he was simply too far to enforce his order. I sensed it would take a good sprint for him to close the gap between us. My heart was beating so quickly that I almost tumbled over the heaps of beach sand. I said a small word of prayer, and tears drifted from my eyes as I ran in terror. It took all I had in me to protect my own life, and I was ready to expend it. God, please, I begged, hoping to reach my car before they caught up with me. My salvation in this instance was a Glock I always left between the acceleration and brake pedals of my car. It was easy to reach, I knew, but I only needed to reach it. I felt his spittle sprinkle over my back as he grabbed the tuft of my hair. He finished his words. He had my held back and slammed my face against the door. I pulled my door open with the same motion. A piercing noise lined my ears, and I shook my head to get out of the pain. He was panting, I was panting, but I was on the floor beside my open door, and he took his eyes off me. Keep up, Christy, he called out, and it broke through the buzz in my head. I opened my eyes, and in one final act of desperation, I leaped straight under my seat. What the hell? He cried in shock when he returned his attention to me and found the gun in my hand. Christy had already kept up and was within my range. I worked the gun with familiarity and pulled the trigger point blank on his chest. One shot and he was on the floor, clutching his chest as he struggled for breath. Christy spun around too late. I was too numb to think. I fired another shot and she was on the floor. Oh God, I cried as I picked myself up off the floor and away from my horror. I turned the ignition on and the engine revved. I drove away with two bodies on the floor, grateful for my life.